Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Flute View Radio. This is Viviana Guzman for theflutview.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Viviana. Today I am in Monterey, California. This is theflutview.com. radio podcast with our special guest today, the beatbox flute sensation, Greg Patillo. First, I'd like to call on my LA-based co-host, Welcome Fluter Scooter. How are you?
Hi, Viviana. I'm good. I'm getting over an ear infection, but I can actually hold my phone up to my ear, so that's progress.
good. Good to hear that you're better.
Yes.
Let's call on our New York-based, I wonder if this is, I pressed the wrong button, the New York-based co-host. Welcome, Barbara Cecil. How are you?
I'm great. Hello, how are you? I'm actually calling in today from sunny southern Florida.
Oh, wow. I'll be in Florida on Monday. How long are you there?
Oh, really? I'm there until the 21st. Where are you going to be?
I'm teaching and performing at Florida State University in Tallahassee and Northern Florida University in Jacksonville. So north. Where are you?
I am going to be in South Florida, where we are the featured performers at the Broward County Storybook Festival.
Oh, wow. Oh,
cool.
Broward County.
You did. Yeah, I'm going to be there and Key Largo, and we're doing a full-day event with survivors for middle school students also in Palm Beach County. I don't know. It'll be fun. Where do you live in Broward?
Beautiful. Well, Broward County, because I played in the New World Symphony. Alice Payday did that too. Yeah. Anyway, I am excited about today's special guest. Ha! Greg Patillo has revolutionized the flute world, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. It's fabulous.
I'd say the music world. What he's doing is very inventive and groundbreaking and creative, not just for flute.
Oh. Absolutely. In so many ways. Only standing ovations from me, that's for sure. let me give you a little background, a little bio. Greg Patillo is recognized throughout the world for his redefinition of the flute sound. Greg is lauded by the New York Times as, quote, the best person in the world at what he does, unquote. His groundbreaking performance videos on YouTube showcasing beatbox flute have been viewed more than 50 million times. As an internationally acclaimed performer, educator, and clinician, Greg can be found both on the concert stage and in the streets, subways, parks, sharing and preaching his sound. After earning his master's degree from the Cleveland Institute of Music, Greg found work as acting principal flute of the Guangzhou Symphony Orchestra in China and became a founding member of the Collaborative Arts Insurgency in San Francisco. Greg currently resides in Brooklyn, New York, and performs with Project Trio, an ensemble of genre-bending performers emerging from classical music roots. And with that, let me welcome Greg Patillo. You are live. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. Great to be chatting. How's it going?
Hi there, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
We're good. Are we all good?
All right. Yeah, we good. I'm actually calling from L.A. today, so I'm in beautiful Los Angeles. Got some nice weather here. That's very nice for a New Yorker. And I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Well, Fluter, you have some exciting new things to talk about. Why don't I hand over the platform to you to ask some questions?
Sure. Well, yes, I have some exciting news that Greg and I have worked on and collaborated on a project that I am actually going to be launching today, the video that we made, introducing the new Greg Patillo Fluter Scooter bag, which actually launched at NFA, but officially we made a video, and we have a special package for you guys, and it will be, the link will be on the YouTube video and on Facebook and everything. So what we did, we created some music together, and I guess the title is right now is Beatboxed Bach, and you'll be able to hear it on the video, and you'll be able to get this music and exclusively with the purchase of a new Greg Patillo Fluter Scooter bag, which is on flutescooter.com. And I'll let Greg talk a little more about that.
Sure. Well, look, it's exciting to work with you, Fluter Scooter. We've been talking about making a bag for a long time. I actually have gone through a lot of bags in my lifetime as a flute player, and talking to flute players, you must understand, it's really hard to find a good bag that fits a flute. I have a tendency to put a lot of junk in my bags, so I need like a big bag. And, you know, we've been chatting for years now, and it's so delightful that over the summer we talked about measurements, we put it together, we made a really sweet bag. And then while we were talking, we realized that we're both flute players, why not make a track? So we made a really sweet track with some Bach and a beatbox. This is something that's just cool to listen to. It's certainly great to study. And as I'm out there talking to a lot of flute players, they want to know more about non-classical flute elements. And it's difficult sometimes to get this sort of these sounds if your teacher doesn't teach them to you. So this is a great resource actually to bring to your teacher. There are two parts. One's like a square flute part, and the other has beatbox and flute. And so you can actually play together and discuss these techniques, and it's all broken down how to work on the basic vamps and elements. It's written out very clearly, although, of course, to work on the sounds. But overall, this is a sweet project. We're also, I've been a Gemeinhardt artist now, I think for almost 10 years, and I think we're working something with the bag and even their black flutes in this chart. I mean, we got a lot going on with this, and it's super exciting. I couldn't be more thrilled. It's a great product. It's super cool people, and I'm all about beatbox flute.
Yeah, and this is the first of many many duets that will come after this too, so stay tuned for that. And Gemeinhardt, who has been an awesome sponsor of ours for our high school competition, is involved with this also. So they're going to be having a package that includes a BLK series flute, and that'll be with the flute, with the bag, and with this new sheet music. So details to come soon, and that'll be on Gemeinhardt's site too. So all of this is really exciting, and like Greg said, this is a really cool cool project, and I'm really thrilled to be working with.
What a great entrepreneurial collaboration that actually achieves its ends. That's fantastic. Uh-huh. That's really fantastic. I can't wait to learn the music. A bag and the music. I need a much bigger bag. I have the soup. I have like a striped bag with me on this trip. Anyway, I just have a question. I wanted to ask Greg to tell us about his LA Chamber Orchestra visit, where he is right now. What is happening?
Absolutely. So this has been a big year for the Project Trio. That's the group that I play with full time, and that's flute, cello, and bass. Eric Stevenson on cello and Peter Seymour on bass. And we put together a whole orchestra consortium to get this piece called Scatter for Project Trio and Orchestra written. It's a concerto by Adam Schoenberg. And he's a fantastic up-and-coming composer. And Finding Roscoe is one of his big, well-known orchestra pieces. You can have a listen to that. It's absolutely out there. And this is the fourth and final concert of the consortium. We premiered it earlier this year with the Iris Orchestra, conducted by Michael Stern. We've played it in Amarillo Symphony, Charleston Symphony, and now the L.A. Chamber Orchestra. We're playing this weekend, Saturday night and Sunday night, and it's the final culmination for this project. It's been a delight. You know, we've been playing as the trio in front of orchestras now almost from the beginning of our group. But one thing we wanted to bring to the table was our sound and actually working with a composer, someone who had their own ideas of sounds and how to do our group. And I think we've really gotten an amazing piece. It's been written for us. It has elements of all sorts of styles, which is what we're all about. That's what I'm about as an artist, is playing as many styles as possible on my instrument. That's what the Project Trio embodies. And that's what this piece embodies, too. There are uplifting moments, atonal moments, powerful moments, beautiful moments, crazy fast moments. it's really a joy to play. And it's very different from what we do. You know, we bring a lot of high energy to our concerts, and this is like refined. So that's very pleasing, you know, to do this. It's very cool. I got to say, playing in front of an orchestra, you know, as a concerto or as a soloist with an orchestra, is one of the highlights of my musical career. To be able to do that is just the best. It's what I've been training for my entire life, and it's pure pleasure.
And it's great. You feel like you're in the right place. And notice that every single time you write an orchestra on your website, that has an explanation point next to it.
Yeah, that's right.
it's really fantastic. Will it be recorded? Will we all get a chance to hear it soon?
I'm not sure offhand if this is being recorded. There are plenty of recordings out there. If you offhand, I would just tell you to Google it. I'm sure you can find it. I know there's a SoundCloud recording. I know we've put up, as the trio, lots of teaser videos. It's a rather long piece. I believe it's 18 minutes long. So there's a lot of different sections, which are all very different. So it's pleasing to listen to in entirety. And just to spot check, we've made a lot of interesting videos. If you can check us out on Facebook, our Project Trio page, you can absolutely find video and audio of it.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, and I get to go see the concert, and I can't wait to hear the
piece
live.
Oh, you're going. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And I'll do a little review for the December Flute View. So,
fabulous.
Nice.
Awesome.
People can at least see the review of the piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
awesome.
Know, this is a cool thing. We've been working with the LA Chamber Orchestra. We were in residency with them for 5 years, doing a bunch of education shows and outreach shows. And this is our final concert with them as part of that. So it's really a fantastic culmination with our work with them as well. And they were a big part of bringing this piece to the table. So we really thank them and their organization.
Wow.
Cool.
And how did you find the composer, Greg?
We were out here in L.A. with the Chamber Orchestra, and it seems more and more the nature of the business is you just got to cultivate your connections. You got to meet people and find like-minded people that want to move forward in similar directions. And when you find these people and if you get along, you stay in touch with them. So about 7 or 8 years ago, we met Adam, and we had a wild gig at like a restaurant somewhere in LA. I don't know. We don't really gig LA. I have no idea where we were. And this guy, I had never met him before, came and he liked it. And he was like, sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll write a concerto for you. You know, and we had big ideas and big dreams, and it's going to take money and it's going to take time. And well, we figured it out. And it's been a work in progress for that long. We got the parts maybe last December, and our premiere was last beginning of February or end of January last year, at the beginning of 2016. So, as advice to others out there, you never know who you're going to meet. And when you meet these people, you know, the music world is very small, and you never know. In 10 years, you might really collaborate and make something wonderful together. But it's all predicated on great relationships and being out there and meeting people and networking with cool people.
That's very good advice.
So now that this is the end of that project, not really, but the last concert, what's next? There's a lot of things on this schedule.
Yeah, well, we book out very far in advance. We're playing all around the world and America, really. We have actually this piece booked in Germany, I know, and a handful more orchestras here in the States over the next couple of years. One thing that we are really excited about as the trio and as educators is next fall we're launching something called The Studio, and it's kind of a postgraduate 21st century chamber music program, and we're out there trying to inspire and educate kind of musicians that aren't pro yet but have already matriculated, and they're in that netherworld, and they don't really know what to do. And what we're doing is we're starting something in New York, and it will be classes, workshops. We will have guests. We will have guest performances. We will perform. We will give performance and recording and business and entrepreneurship opportunities in New York City. I think a lot of the problems with musicians that are choosing to go to school and then they matriculate, they're finding that school didn't actually give them any of the resources to swim in the modern world. Some people are learning maybe how to play their instrument at a high level, but you need to take that and apply it to the real world. You need to figure out who you are as a brand, as an artist. You need to know about making different things for media consumption, videos, audios, web pages, photos. And I think that's important no matter if you're going to be a soloist, even a principal player in an orchestra. You know, if you get a great job in orchestra, now you're that all that is an establishment in your community. You have a whole nother obligation to get out there and share these techniques with others. And let's not forget, in the modern world, we need to be accountable as musicians online, have all of these resources at our fingertips, these things that we could do ourselves. Anyhow, obviously I got a lot to talk about it. We're doing a whole program next fall, and we're really excited. We have been doing these sorts of things as residencies throughout America, and now we would just like to do it in New York City. We think there's something about the city that is very alluring and very difficult, and I think it can really enlighten people kind of what's at stake to be a professional musician, or if this is your path going forward, what you need to bring to the table to be successful.
Great. Cool. Well, I hope you have many wonderful students who come to work with you. Have you? How have you developed your world-class panel of artists? Are the artists that are coming entrepreneurs also?
We're actually, it's not all entrepreneurship, although that's part of it. We're also going to mine our collection. We know world-class performers. We know soloists. We know people in the institutions in New York City. We know, for instance, people that play in the Met. Or, you know, we have all sorts. We've been in the music world and went to conservatory, and now all of these people went on to be, that we know, to be very successful in the world. And we're delighted to be able to call them to New York to be able to help. Really, we have a huge wealth of talent to bring in, and it will be hard to slim it down and just pick really what it is that we're trying to administer in our program.
That's great.
Sounds beautiful. Fantastic.
Yeah. So
I know when I was at school, this is what I was desperately seeking, and there was nothing. There was just one couple months class called The Business of Music, and that was it. So if I were young right now, I would definitely be looking into this.
Yeah. Well, I got to say that, you know, obviously that was Viviana that just said that, right? Yeah, I mean, like, look, you are a pro business person on the flute. I mean, check you out. What's going on? And I think it's amazing, actually, you know, someone like you doesn't need help because you know how to go and find out the answers and get it done, you know? And I think that's testament to how successful you've been as an artist. And, you know, not a lot of folks are coming out of school with that head on their shoulders. It's actually not what we're taught in school. We're not taught to go find these things out on our own, but actually to sit back and listen to our teachers. But if your teacher's only got one thing to say and not the whole story, you know, you might just miss out on a lot. You know, it's amazing with the internet. So many of these things, actually, you can learn to do on your own. if you have the mind to do it. And so that's part of it too, just showing, you know, look at all these fantastic resources we have available to us. I kind of consider myself a Generation Xer. If I had had these resources growing up, I mean like the internet and what that brings to us, I imagine I would be such a more amazing artist and flute player now today. But as it is, I'm pleased I can. I mean, I didn't learn any of this stuff in school either, and that's been my challenge then, you know, is learning on my own. And I'm pleased I've found some success with it. It would be great to share.
That was my point, is I felt like I needed to learn this. I didn't know where to learn it. And so that's why if I were 18 now or 20, I would.
Right.
This is definitely what you're going to be offering. It sounds truly amazing.
Yeah. All right.
And Greg, I believe the Project Trio, you know, you guys manage all your own bookings and touring. Is that mm-hmm. still like, or am I wrong there?
You are absolutely correct. We do everything in-house. We do everything. We, three dudes, you know what I'm saying? Book orchestra shows, make concertos, make CDs, travel the world, and have developed a fully unique individual sound. And it has taken a lot of work. But one thing about that is that when it's your project, when it's your thing, you are the best in the world at doing it, and you are empowered to do it. And it feels fantastic when you succeed. And I know that I'm known for a lot of my solo beatbox videos, but really all of my energy goes into the Project Trio. This is our business, you know. This is what we do, and the YouTube stuff is just fun and craziness, you know. But the Project Trio is very serious, and we can't believe it's been successful, you know. Sometimes when these things start, you just hope it just stays together, and it's done way beyond that, man. It's been it's now a lifelong pursuit, man. The Project Trio is here to stay.
And how did you transition from being just doing flute beatbox on YouTube to establishing the Project Trio as more of your group and your business?
Yeah, well, that kind of all happened at the exact same time. It was about 10 years ago now that I made those first videos, if you can remember back then.
Wow.
No one had mobile internet. You know, there wasn't even YouTube on phones yet when I first made those videos. It was all on computer. You had to go home and log on to the internet on your computer and watch YouTube. And that was right as I just shot those videos. We had all moved to New York. We were writing our first album. At the time, I was working at Trader Joe's. It was a grocery store. I didn't even have employment in music. I mean, I totally had a square job and was just crossing my fingers, hoping somehow I could get into the music world again. And I got very lucky with that video. It would have been way more awesome had that video been the Project Trio, since that's really where all of our energies go. But I'm thrilled people noticed the beatbox stuff, because I can use that. So of course we use it with the trio too. It was an amazing thing that happened.
So how do you guys rehearse every day? How do you structure your work, since this is now your job?
Well, we don't rehearse every day, but we rehearse as needed, and we rehearse. We have a studio downtown in in Brooklyn, it's in a basement, the basement lair. Fluter, you've been there, you've seen it.
Great.
we cut our track there together. I think I know Eric Stevenson engineered that track, so we were able to do that in house too. We didn't even have to take it out to a studio, and we rehearse as needed. You know, I mentioned this before, when you write your own music, when you're the only one that plays it, you're the best in the world at playing it. No one else even knows how to play it. And so, actually, there's a lot less stress when you're playing your own music, because you know it. You wrote it. It makes it way easier to perform memorized, and, you know, it means then that rehearsals can be way more organic and happen, you know, really to correct problems less than maintain the product.
Mm. Beautiful. And I see that you're coming to San Francisco December 10 and 11. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, I don't know offhand what it is that we're doing. I think we're doing something in San Jose. And I would have to go to projecttrio.com to find out more information about
that. Well, I'm there, and it says more info coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that what we have is we have a very nice thing happening in San Jose, and we're still trying to branch out from there. But we do a lot of education things. We do a lot of performance things. Sometimes our concerts aren't necessarily general public concerts. You know, we do all sorts of things. So I'm actually didn't book this, and I'm not sure what we are doing there. But we will try to update that right quick. You know, the guy that knows is Peter Seymour. He's our bass player. And last time I checked, we were still trying to expand that date a little more. But
does he do most of your booking? Do you guys like divide up your jobs?
Yeah, we do actually. We all kind of have different, we have different strengths, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Peter has been in charge of the business aspect of it since the beginning. Even as we were all coming together, he already had the name of the group kind of put together. And had figured out he already had a nonprofit status and or was getting close to the group with that idea of the group. And Eric is really our audio whiz. He is an audio technician also, and so he does a lot of our recording. I've done a lot of video work. I got a lot of lights and cameras and lenses and things like this. And so I've become kind of an amateur video maker. But we all do a little bit of everything. But sometimes, for biz, you can get too many cooks in the kitchen. And, you gotta really be hot with emails, calling people back, and being in communication. And I believe if that gets spread thin, you're more apt to miscommunicate. Peter's the man at biz, and we love him doing our biz. He is empowered doing it. And so, and look at us, we're still going strong. So we tell groups to do this too, we're out there trying to inspire other groups, not just bands per se, but ensembles, we like to call it. Stack the deck with what you're strong at. If one member is good at biz, put them on the phones, put them on the emails. If one person is better at composing, if one person's better at your social medias, great. Give that to them. Let this person shine kind of when you are in charge of your element. I feel you bring more energy to the project. You know, having a little bit of it being yours is really powerful.
Wow, that's such excellent advice.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, Greg, we only have less than two minutes left. And before we say goodbye to you, this has been an amazing interview, and I'm going to listen back on just the advice that you've given is just golden, absolutely. I would like to ask you just fun facts, three to five fun facts about you, quirky things, just things that we wouldn't normally know about you that you'd like to unveil to us. And don't think too much about it.
Okay. Here are some. I don't know. If most people do not know that I like to play video games. And I play League of Legends. Do you guys play that? I don't know if anyone out there listening does too. But that's something that I love to do. But don't get to a lot often. I'm a family man these days. So that's another thing. I'm a family man. I got two kids. I got a kindergartner, and I got a five-month-old. And they're really rowdy. Actually, this is fantastic for beatboxers. Babies love to be beatboxed, too. And it really ups the game for nonsense sounds, let me tell you. And let's see, what else? I'm rather a foodie. But I cook a lot at home, and I almost, even though I live in New York City with all this food, I cook almost 100% all my meals at home for me and my family. Right. So that's another factoid there. I don't know. What else? I grew back my mustache. Not too wild. You'll probably notice if you see any pictures of me. But I don't know. Other fun facts that maybe, man, maybe
that's
it.
I think that's all we have time for.
That's
good. Okay, well, thanks.
So projecttrio.com, this has been Greg Patillo. Thank you so very much for joining us. This has been just a fabulous interview. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Take it easy.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah.
So, flipview.com. See you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.